Sister Mae takes us to 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, beginning at the 8th verse. And our topic, 7 sneezes in Shunem. How many persons here ever sneezed in your life? Anybody? I've been looking for somebody to lift their hand all evening. I couldn't get you all to think upon that subject. We're to speak tonight of the healing by divine power of one who was sick unto death and in fact had been claimed by death himself. The story of Elisha is almost entirely a record of miracles and beneficence, supernatural works which seem to recapitulate the miraculous works of Elijah, his immediate preceder. Oh, thank God that this successor of Elijah so mirror the work of his predecessor, Elijah. Would God that every one of us who are Christian ministers and Christian workers could reflect the light of Jesus Christ and preach the same gospel he preached. Do the works that he did. Tonight we have just seen a woman carried in here upon a bed with a great protruding cancer. And as I stepped to her bed to ask the reason of her affliction, her two sisters and her husband came to me and told me of the seriousness and how she'd suffered this great relapse before she attended the service. Inquiring of the case, they told me this cancer, and I said, then of course she hasn't been able to sit up. I said, oh no, it would be impossible for her to be in a sitting position. I said, well, could she stand? They said, absolutely not. And for 6 months has been lying down, and for 4 months has not even tried to sit up. And always on her side, night and day, and in great pain. But the congregation here began to pray for her. Jesus began to touch her. She turned over and said to me, sister, the pain has stopped. The pain is gone. They said, the things they said are melting away. And I came back up to the platform, and in a little while I saw two of my faithful, loyal workers go over and take her by the hands, and she rose to her feet, and in the presence of the witness of this audience, walked across the temple platform here, and then down the aisle and out and waved her hand. Oh, God, go with her and give her new life and strength every moment, and all others who listen. Divine healing is not something new of the 20th century. Divine healing is as old as the Bible itself, and the Word of God endureth forever. Divine healing did not stop with the day of Jesus, nor was it begun with the day of Christ. Divine healing ran all through the Old Testament, like living, moving, pulsing, sparkling, vivid streams and rivers that flow from the fountain of God's throne. In this chapter is a beautiful story. Tis a story of a great lady of Shunem. The joy over her only child, his piteous death that he died upon her knees, and his subsequent healing because of her faith is one of the tenderest, sweetest pages in sacred history. Her son, so lately won in life and so early lost. As the story opens, the poor boy lies pale and dead upon the bed of Elisha at Shushan. While the mother hurries across the plains of Jezreel to the mountains of Carmel, where lived Elisha, a distance of 15 or 16 miles. Can you see her as she is galloping across those plains and imagine the bitterness in her heart? She had lived upon a road that had been often traversed by Elisha. And seeing the preacher pass by so often, and being just the kind of a housewife that I know many of you folks out there are, she said to her husband, a good man, let us build an extra bedroom here, a spare room for the preacher. So whenever he's weary or hungry or thirsty, he may turn in and rest. Have you all a spare bedroom for the preacher? How many could make room for me tonight if I came to your house somewhere? All right, all the great ladies and the great men are not dead then. And so they provided for him a candlestick and a bed and a table and a chair. And there he reposed. One day the friend and helper of the great prophet had noticed that the woman was always mourning and that the house was empty. And there were no children, which was quite a blight upon a person in those days. And so
He said, go and tell her that a son shall be born to herself and her husband. The woman was quite advanced in age, and she marveled, but she said, do not tempt me. Do not tell me this unless it's really true. But, according as they had said, a son was born to herself and her husband shortly thereafter. Oh, how happy she was. The little fellow grew 1 year of age, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. He was able to say mummy and daddy in his own language. Able to run and toddle and walk. Have you ever had a little boy or girl? Do you ever remember the sickening quiver that ran through you when the little one was sick? Oh, the ghastliness of those nights. This little fellow seemed perfectly well. Until at noon, he was with his father in the field, big enough to toddle. And whether it was sunstroke or what, it wasn't happened to him. He was suddenly taken desperately sick at high noon. And he flung his little baby hands to his little boyish head. And he cried out, my head! My head! And the father picked the little boy up and ran to the mother, as a father will. All men are helpless. In a time like that, they think they're the stronger sex, and I guess they are, but they sure run fast with the sick children to their mother. And put him on her lap, where he sat until he died. And then, as the mother saw the light go out of those precious eyes, the gift that had come to her so late in life, a gift almost unprayed for and unsought and yet so dearly precious. And she saw the long dark lashes quiver through his cheek, and then all the blush of the rose leave his face, and the ghastly weight of death come along. She picked up his fast, stiffening little body and mounted the stairs to that extra spare room that they called the prophet's room, laid him upon the bed, folded his little hands, and we read, and oh, I can just hear the firm, sure determination of a rancher's wife, or a farmer's wife, in the ring of the words, she went out and shut the door. Oh, brother, would to God you could take your sickness. Would to God you could take your burden to the Lord Jesus and put it upon the resting bed, the promise of the rock bed of the Word of God. And that we could go out and shut the door. So many of us come to the altar with our burden, but we fail to leave it there. We take it up with us and go out again. Do you believe the Lord answers prayer?
Yes.
Do you believe he still lives?
Yes.
Glory to God. And the husband stood around helplessly. What shall I do? What shall I do? Well, if he's dead now, there's nothing to do. The wife said, have the servant go and saddle one of the mules. Or one of the asses here, and I'll ride. And tell the servant to ride ahead. And tell him not to slack his riding because of me. I'm saying she's a woman and we'll have to go slow. Go as fast as a man can ride. Bless her heart. Oh, isn't it wonderful what women can do if they have to? What mother love can do when it's put to the test? And so this horse began to gallop across the fields and the plains. 15 or 16 miles that woman had to travel. Across the plains of Jezreel. And first came the meeting. Picture it. High on the slopes of Mount Carmel sat the prophet, commanding a view of the plains stretching away into the blue distance. Although years were upon him, his eyes were keen, and he recognized this great lady in Shunem. And he suspected that this unusual hasty visit was presaged by some calamity which had befallen her. And in his sympathy, the sympathy that Jesus feels for you, sick friend, tonight, Elisha could not sit passively by. He had to do something. He watched her approach. And as he watched her, sympathy leaped eagerly wide awake in a flame to his heart. Swift and ready came his action. And he said, servant, and he called his servant by name, run to her and say to her these words. Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy son? Dear Elijah, what did he hope to gain by sending his servant? The woman was on her way to meet him, Elisha. She couldn't get there any faster but the servant running. But his desire to help her is a reflection of the desire of Jesus Christ to help you, of the son, of the prodigal son's father to run to comfort him. It's wonderful to be a great man or a great woman. It's wonderful to be head of a great institution of any kind. like he was on that mountaintop. It's wonderful to be at the head of a band of employees, or ushers, or choir, singers. But the greater a person is, the more tender they should be, and the more rapidly they should stretch out their hand of assistance and comfort. Amen. They should indeed carry their sympathy with an outstretched hand. Forgiveness is worth little when it comes slowly. But help and pardon is priceless when it comes to the mourner before she has a chance to speak and ask for it. Hallelujah. And so the woman came. By the time Gehazi got there, the servant, he was a cold proposition, just like some preachers that I know, with a long coat tail and their beak that's rather sharp and their words rather cold. He came down and he had the word put in his mouth by the prophet. And he said, Well, woman, is it well with thy husband? And is it well with thy child? Is it well with thee? Just the old preacher type. And he was so cold. The words when they left Elisha were warm, sympathetic, tender. They'd been put in the mouth of the prophet, the servant. But by the time the servant got them out of his mouth, they were frozen and cold. I'm afraid that's true with a great many preachers. The Holy Ghost and the Lord God Almighty has put words of everlasting life in the preacher's mouth. He said, run, tell that Shunammite, tell that mourning one. It's my message, but by the time we deliver the message, we've deleted it. We've put water in the milk, skimmed the cream all off. And we preach a cold gospel. Brothers, I'll tell you, the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's able to save and heal tonight. And even if one of his servants have crossed your path with a cold sermon, remember the Lord is unchanged. Glory be to God. Gehazi's detailed question, therefore, is it well with thee, thy husband, thy child, circumscribed her whole little life. If everything was right with her husband, and herself and her child, nothing could be ill. If anything was ill with herself, her husband, or her child, then nothing could be well. That was her little circle in which she swung, and how well the prophet gauged the swing of her particular pendulum. Bless the Lord. Glory to God. It's very hard for selfish and different preachers to carry tender words without phrasing them. The word of Lord is like an infant that is possible of growing into a great giant. It must be kept warm and nourished and loved. Beloved, have you the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Have you the love of God burning in your soul tonight? Glory, don't let it cool down to your own temperature, Mr. Preacher and Mr. and Mrs. Lady who testified. The action, or the reaction of the Shunammite is interesting. The moment that he spoke in his cool way, is it well with thee? She said, peace. In other words, be quiet. Some people say this meant that she said, yes, I'll be at rest, whatever the Lord sends. That's not true. The translation shows that she said, stop. Hold your peace. You haven't come with the fire of God in your soul. And then she came to the prophet himself. She shrank from unveiling her sorrow. A cold, dead hireling preacher. Nothing makes grief so dumb and mute as prying, indifferent intrusion. But bless the Lord, when she came to Elisha, she made one effort to make a convulsive, sobbing grab and clutch for his feet. And Gehazi tried to prevent that. Here, tut, tut, woman. You mustn't touch the master. Isn't it funny how hirelings can be so much more careful of a master's prestige than he is of his own? He knew the woman's cry. He knew her bitterness of tears. He knew the brine that was burning in the soul of her. He knew that life wasn't worth going on. But to all the servants, he was tut, tut, now. You mustn't touch him. That isn't nice. Now, don't come through the crowd. She just made a lunge for his feet. And so the prophet said, let her alone.
You're more careful for my reputation than I am of my own. I see through it all, and I see the heart beneath her soul and heart is bitter within her. Glory to God. He let her cling to her, to his feet, for only there at his feet could she find her tongue and speak what was in her soul. Friends, Christ allows us to come as close as we will to him. He not only lets us clutch his feet, but he will even let us bury our faces in his breast. Hallelujah. And there pour out all our sorrow and our sin to him. He said her heart is bitter within her. Yes. And when people's hearts are bitter, they say lots of things more than they mean. Isn't that true? I guess we all have. She did. She was a lovely woman, mind you. A hospitable woman. A woman whose linen was always polished. Whose dishes were always washed. Whose cellar was always filled with good things to eat. And yet, she was bitter now. She walked up to me and said, "Did I ask you that my husband and I have a son? Didn't I ask you not to deceive me?" Oh, my, she was blistering. But under the hasty whirlwind words, under the rough, wild, tempestuous cry, he saw the tears, and he knew the real cry of the heart. And it didn't matter what she said or how wild she talked, she was hanging to him. And it doesn't matter how much you scold the Lord. And the Lord, you failed me. Lord, you let me down. As long as you're hanging tight to him while you say it, he'll translate through your cry of anguish. That's what you really mean. And he'll say, "Let her pour it out." It's like a boil that has to come out. The bitterness of her tears. And so he translates it, these wild accusations of ours, into petitions. "Did I desire a son? You forced an unasked blessing into our home. Did I not say, do not deceive me?" Oh, he is swift. Glory to Jesus, to pass by the sound, but to answer the cry beneath the sound. And then, notice, he said, "I'll go with you immediately. And servant, come here. Gehazi, you're younger and stronger. You run as quickly as you can. Take my staff with you." A sample of the word of God. An emblem of the rod of power. "And lay it upon the dead child. And see if this shall bring him to life." And Gehazi, the type of the minister, with his long-tailed coat, he sallied down the road and he came in and very laid the staff upon the child. I don't think Gehazi expected anything to happen. I tell you, if you come with a cold, dead, powerless gospel and you handle this word of God, the rod of everlasting life, with a coldness of heart, you will never raise the dead, nor get your cancered people up and out walking, nor your crutches clattering to the floor. But if you will take the word of God as it stands, alive and living and glowing and burning, he's able to raise from the dead. He's able to cast out devils. He's able to open blind eyes. He's able to make the tongue of a dumb man sing. And he's able to save from all sin. Glory be to God. When the servant laid the staff upon the little dead boy, why did the staff fail? Because of the bearer. Because of the one who bore the staff. Elisha's staff, or the staff of God's own holy word, loses its power in such hands. The mightiest instrument is weak when selfishness and coldness wields it. It's an awful thing to carry the rod of his strength and hinder its existing energy. It's an awful thing to be a preacher or a church member and read the word of God that says, "Is there any sick among you?" James 5:14. Let him call to the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed any sin, it shall be forgiven him. And then to say, "I'm sorry, my brethren, but this was for yesteryear." It's awful to carry the staff and go through the motions at an altar and stand behind the pulpit and pretend to believe it and then hold back its power. But glory to God, the master's footsteps sounded on the stair. He came into the house. And then third point, I wish you to notice the communication of life. Master went up the stairs into that little chamber upon the wall. And we read that he closed the door. The cry of the mother rose up from below to join the prayer of the prophet above. Now the child had died at 12 at noon. The mother had certainly been 4 hours on her journey each way. So it was pitch black night outside. In that warm country, bodies decompose rapidly and must be buried almost immediately. Think of a closed door, locked in with rigor mortis, locked in with King Death, locked in with the grave opening just before. And picture that cry of faith. And we read that the prophet walked to and fro in the room. Beloved, it's a great thing to come to grips with death and sickness and the power of the devil, but the Lord is able to conquer. Glory be to God. And though he walked to and fro, walking to and fro, even as Jesus walked during his life, to and fro in the corridor of death in this human world is not enough. At last, the prophet did what Jesus, our Savior, later did. Laid himself down upon the child. Think of it. His mouth to the child's mouth. His hands upon the child's cold hands stretched out. His eyes of keen sight upon the child's glazed eyes of death. Oh, what a picture of Jesus Christ, our great Redeemer and Savior. What a marvelous picture is here of the incarnate glory of the Lord. His feet for your feet. His hands, my brother, for your hands. His eyes for your eyes. And the warm heart of Elijah was pulsing close to the cold heart of the dead boy. And praise the Lord. As he began to call upon the Lord began to answer. Glory to Jesus. Woo! Suddenly the boy sneezed. You know, a sneeze is a good thing. It can clear out your head. Some of you folks need your head cleared out. It can... It can clear out your ears. Some of you need your ears cleaned out. It can clear out your eyes. A good many of us need our eyes cleared. It can clear out your throat. A good many of us need our speaking tubes cleared. And our lips and our nostrils. Amen? Oh, with that first sneeze, I see humanity shaking off the old broken laws. We've broken the laws of God. We've come into condemnation and death. But Jesus Christ tasted death for us when he laid his hands on the cross in the place our hands should have been. Achoo! He sneezed a second time, the rolling back of nature's course. Some say, well, you'll die when your time comes anyway. I don't believe that especially. There are many people in the Bible that the Lord added years to their life. Glory to God. Dissipation and living wrongly will bring many a man to an early grave. Where the Lord, if we walk in him, is able to bring us to a ripe old age. Amen. Full of years and full of strength. He sneezed a third time and sins judgment. Glory to God for all met in Jesus Christ who stretched himself upon Calvary's cross over our dead bodies. And again he sneezed, and there came resurrection over the power of death. He sneezed a fifth time, victory over the grave. He sneezed a sixth time, conqueror over rigor mortis. The hands and the limbs and the body began to warm up and loose. Oh, my Lord, get the hell to this crowd tonight and warm them up. Anybody have rigor mortis down there? Brother, you look like you had. Shout hallelujah. That's pretty good. Let's hear you all say it, sisters. Let's hear all the men say amen.
Yeah.
Everybody that's stiff and formal and you know you are, say amen. Sure. Those that want to be free, say hallelujah. Well, sorry. And now, he sneezed a seventh time, and new life and health came surging into his body. The prophet is ever modest. One would have thought that he would have opened the door and said, woo-hoo, tonight,
quickly. We've had 7 sneezes in Shunem here that brought your son to listen up and see what I've done. It's very typical of the modesty and the God-glorifying quality of a man that he sent that servant of his, Gehazi. Never did like that man. Gehazi downstairs, and I think that something even got in the soul of that poor old cold preacher. And he must have quickened his pace up on the step when he said, "Woman, he's calling you." I think I hear another voice in the room. Oh, the curtain is drawn too weakly so that we may stand outside of the door and wonder at the glad cry. As the prophet said, "Take up thy son." What mother was ever told to take up your baby? Your arms don't ache right now. You lay your hold of the baby and take up thy son. But we're remembering that Jesus upon a cross said, "Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother." As this prophet said, "Woman, take up thy son." My brother, my sister, tonight the Lord Jesus Christ is able to heal you. He's able to raise you up. Even the Old Testament, he was able to substitute by using a prophet's faith. How much more, since by his stripes we are healed, and by his blood we are redeemed.